Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. New Covenant Christian Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. Our Sunday gathering is at 10 a.m. We trust you are blessed as you pore over God's Word with us.
Oh, the seas lift up.
So Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus says to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age." In preparation for this, I have to just tell you, I did very little in the way of study, and I did a whole lot more of simply abiding with Jesus in the place of prayer. And so I'm a little tenderized, and I actually want to stand before you and say that I'm okay. I'm okay with that. The last thing we need is more information without authentic experiential connection with the man Christ Jesus. Can we just get in touch with the fact that Jesus says, "I am with you"? So many of us, we take this great commission and we grab it like we're holding on to a football and we are running for the goal line. And it doesn't matter who we take out along the way. We have a goal in mind. And that's fine. But remember the joy of it too. Like I think that there's a lot of very dutiful Christians, good soldiers reporting for duty, who have forgotten their first love. And I think for us to connect with the fact that Jesus wants us to make disciples of all nations. How many of you were blessed last week? I'm just saying, the guy came and he hung out with us and I got to meet him, and his message was so clear and simple and anointed that we all walked away from that going, "Wow, more of that, please." All nations. Some of you have a heart for the nations. Some of you have been to the nations. Some of you, you realize that you're a part of the nations and that your neighborhood is part of this commission. And I love that. Absolutely love it. The word baptize here is the Greek word baptizo, which means to utterly overwhelm. To overwhelm. And when we immerse in the water, we're identifying with a deeply spiritual reality, like I've said, of Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection. But there's a prophetic act that's happening here, and it's multi-layered. There are at least three things, distinct things, that I can identify with. Tiffany and I were listening to this little clip this morning. It was just so great. Chris Volatin from Bethel Church, he just speaks on this really profound truth that when we come into baptism, Romans 6 tells us, "Don't you know that when you were baptized into Christ, you were baptized into his death? Do you know that taking up your cross daily means coming into his death?" And just a reminder that it is no longer you who live, but what? But Christ who lives in you. This is the great mystery that had been hidden for generations, but has been revealed to you and I by the Holy Spirit, that Christ is in you. Goes on to say that we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, you too may live a new life. You have been united with him like this in his death, and we will certainly be also united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because everyone who has died has been freed from sin. Everyone who has died, everyone who has entered into the death, the burial, and the resurrection has been freed from the slavery of sin. That's you and I, people. Amen. For if I've died with Christ, then we believe that we will also live with Him. I mean, how many of us love that verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17? If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. Absolutely true. So, entering into His death. The reason why I had people pause in the water there for a second, like I asked them, how long can you hold your breath? I said, I'll probably like meet you halfway with that. It always seems longer when you're under. There was something that Jesus did during the burial. Like, we tend to focus a lot on the crucifixion, rightly so, because every curse that befell mankind was answered by the shedding of Jesus' blood on that cross in every way, shape, and form. And He took sin on Himself. He bore our sins so that the body of sin could be done away with forever. We don't have to live under bondage to sin anymore. And then we celebrate the resurrection life of Jesus, not only for an anticipation of what's to come, but also this sense that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead has taken up residence inside of our lives. So we enter into that hope and into that dependence, really. Like, Jesus, I need You to be the life that I cannot be for myself right now and for the people that I love. I need You to be that for me. But what about His burial? What happened in His burial? He didn't just lay in that tomb for 3 days. Can I just spitball with you for a second? He descended into hell. And He preached the gospel of the kingdom and He set captives free. In fact, it says that the tombs broke open at the earthquake and the people who used to be dead were walking on the earth. If you don't believe that's in the Bible, I bless you to search a matter out. You will find it there. Everything that was stolen from humanity at the fall in the garden, with sin entering into humanity's bloodline, He went into hell and He reclaimed that for humanity. He took the keys from Satan. That's what He did. He absolutely took the keys from Satan. And when He came and He ascended out of the grave at the resurrection, He was holding keys in His hand. And then He says this profound thing, I give you the keys. I give you the keys. I give you the keys. I used to work as a grunt at this place down in Colorado Springs. It was a defense contract thing, and I had a bunch of keys because I was the one who was getting into all the doors to clean the place. And there was a joke that, you know, the one with most keys was the one that had the most responsibility. That wasn't necessarily true in my case. Low man on the totem pole. However, I've connected with that. You and I, when we enter into relationship with Jesus and He has established us as this new creation, you have keys, which means that you have responsibility and authority, probably more than you even realize right now. And I just want to affirm you and I want to encourage you that you have been given a dominion. Do you know that when Adam and Eve fell, that they relinquished the dominion that God had given to them? They handed those keys off. And Satan had to run with those for all those thousands of years until Jesus took them back when He was buried. When He came up out of the grave, He says, I have the keys. I have reclaimed the dominion that I originally had intended for human beings to walk in. And I give you those keys. You have responsibility again. You're not a victim. You're not buffeted to and fro with every whim that the enemy wants to throw at you. You have authority now. You have been given back the dominion that was taken from you. And you are brought into a new lineage, and it's the lineage of Jesus Christ. And he's the one who said it right here. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And he has given that authority to you and I. And some people would argue with that, like, God wouldn't share his authority with another. Well, you're not another. You're his body. You're united with him. And you have dominion. I want you to just think. I want you to imagine right now. Use your sanctified imaginations. And I want you to imagine yourself standing in the center of your house. And I want you to imagine the property line that you either have a lease or you have a deed to that property. You have legal right to be residing on that piece of property right there. When you go home later on today, maybe tonight, stand with your wife or your husband and stand with your kids and declare that this is a kingdom space because God has given me the authority as a kingdom son, as a kingdom daughter, to have dominion in this space. And then you banish any foul spirit that's tried to harass you in the name of Jesus. Can you picture that? Your space is holy. You have dominion. Now imagine yourself walking into a place of business where you have the right to be there. You have either been hired or you have a contract. This spiritual protocol is important. You walk into that sphere, guess what? You have authority there. That's your space. You're a citizen of this town. Everywhere you go, you bring the kingdom with you. I'm getting excited. So that's why I wanted people to pause in that space for a moment. There's nothing that feels quite as helpless and hopeless as being underwater, unable to breathe. It's complete surrender. Thank you all for trusting me to put you there in that space. But really, you're trusting the Lord. And just like the African guy I was telling this crew earlier this morning, there was this missionary went to Africa and he's like, oh yeah, I was baptizing these people and this guy started fighting me. Like, I put him under the water, he started fighting me because I'm trying to bring him up and he wants to stay down. Finally, I got him up. He's like, I'm not quite dead yet. It's like, talk about trust. Literal. I've asked the Bovies to come back up and lead us into a time of worship. And as they do that, let me read a couple of passages of Scripture over you. This is Mark 1. This is John the Baptist speaking this. You know John the Baptizer went around baptizing anyone who would be baptized into the baptism of repentance. And he did that for a couple of reasons. One was he was preparing the way of the Lord. So all of these people, their hearts were coming to. And then there was another reason, and that was because the one on whom the dove would descend, God had already told him, that's the one who's the Messiah. So he wanted to see who that was. So he wanted to be around for that. But this is what John says. After me will come one more powerful than I. The laces of his sandals I am not worthy to scoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. I just want to pray for all of us. Would we stand together and would we pray that the Holy Spirit would baptizo us, utterly overwhelm us in a way that we are surrendered to him. So Holy Spirit, we welcome your presence. Come Holy Spirit with power. Come Holy Spirit with power. Jesus, you told your disciples, wait here, because when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power. You will receive dunamis power, and you will be my witnesses. In other words, you will be able to walk around in the spheres that I send you, and you will have authority. You will have dominion. You will be ushering in the reality of the kingdom of God. And there will be people that you will be useful in helping come from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, let our lives be a witness. as we are empowered by your Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, more.
Yes.
We pray for more. Every single one of us, wherever you're at in your journey, there's a cry in your heart for more. It doesn't mean that we're discontent with what we have. It just simply means that our instincts know there's more. There's more. There's more. An ever-increasing, ever-expanding kingdom of God released to you and through you and the authority of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for making the descent. Thank you for going there for us. For claiming the victory over what was stolen from humanity through the evil one. Thank you for making everything right.
Yes.
And we want to ask you now, would you help us now? This is coming to me. Tiff and I were listening to this. Here's the deal. When Lazarus came out of the tomb, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Lazarus came out of the tomb still bound up. He was a resurrected man who needed his friends to unwrap him. So, Lord, it's better to be resurrected and bound up than to be a walking dead person. But, Lord, it's still not the fullness. Lord, whatever it is that you want to release us from, if there's any bondage that we are experiencing in our life now, as the resurrected ones who have come into relationship with you, and I've identified with your death, your burial, and your resurrection. Would you bring us on a journey, Lord, of liberating us from any bondage that we are experiencing in Jesus' name?
Yes, God.
Would you liberate us from any bondage that we are experiencing, God, that is not of you? It's part of our old grave clothes, Lord. We do not want to identify with our old life of sin and death. Lord, we repent now of any agreement that we've made with sin, with a lie. We renounce any agreement that we've made with anything that is not of you. We consecrate our lives unto you fresh and new as your Holy Spirit is poured out over our lives. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. And only you can do this work. You are the liberator. You are the ones who have set us free. Thank you, God, for setting us free.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, if you're curious about ways that you can more deeply be involved with this community, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@me.com or like our Facebook page. Thank you and God bless.